Surrounded. Surrounded by Good People Radio. 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 Surrounded by Good People Radio.
If something that I have said or you've seen me say makes you second guess something ignorant that's about to come out of your mouth, then I've done my work.
Wow.
Then I've done my work. Yeah. Like, don't say it. That's right. If you're about to say something to me and you're like, oh, I don't know if I should, don't. Save us both the impending drama that's about to happen.
Welcome to another episode here on Surrounded by Good People Radio. Today we have singer, dancer, actor, and athlete Lindsay Hales. We're going to talk to her a little bit about her moves here to New York, her struggles living in New York, and culture, being a personal trainer, her being on Broadway, and just dive into a little bit about who she is as a person. So without further ado, this is Lindsay Hales. What's going on with you? How you been? What's going on?
Been good. Just trying to survive this NYC winter.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I hate the cold.
Yeah.
I hate the snow. I hate taking the trains in the cold and the snow.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, brighter days are ahead.
What's been the biggest struggle for you so far? How long have you been in New York?
So I moved here July of 2017.
Okay.
So, like, a little over a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
Wow.
It feels like 5 years. I don't get out as much as I wish I could, but when I do get out, it's, like, amazing. Mm-hmm. Like leaving also helps me appreciate it, though, because anywhere I go, like, I was just home for the holidays back in Kansas, and, you know, it's slow, it's easy, it's mm-hmm. quiet, it's simple,
mm-hmm.
and I find now living here I can only take that for so long.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But every time I leave, I'm rejuvenated and ready to get back.
Get back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I finished a show earlier this fall. Called The Black Clown up at ART. So okay. I moved to Boston for a few months to do that uh-huh. after I had moved here. So I did that. Now I'm back and I'm working at a gym as a group fitness instructor. Look us up. Check us out on our website, 432house.com mm-hmm. or 432house on Instagram. We are a new fitness gym.
Mm-hmm.
Our grand opening was in December, so we're very, very new, but practical fitness, sports, athletic-based training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's...
What are some of the other brands that you work with currently?
I am working with Wildflower, which is a company based out of California. Mm-hmm. They sell products that are infused with CBD, which is right along with the brand of 432 House, healing, yeah. holistic methods. Their stuff is incredible as well. I have a discount code actually right now. If you type in Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, 2019, get you 10% off. Plug, plug, plug.
There you go. There you go. That's what's up, man. Oh.
You know what? It has, when I was just home for Christmas, I was real tempted. I was living that easy life, mm-hmm. you know, laundry in unit, mm-hmm. home cooked meals every night, a yeah. car, you know,
yeah.
everything easy to access.
Yeah.
But there's nothing for me there. Like, yeah. that conversation never goes far because as good as it sounds to mm-hmm. be back in that comfortable spot, I know that I couldn't thrive and be my best self
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
an environment like that. I need diversity. I need excitement. I need fast pace. That's where I thrive personally.
Yeah.
So if I was back there, I would be a couch potato.
Mm.
And a freeloader. And then they would be really mad. They would be like, okay, you've overstayed your welcome. And I'm like, this is what you wanted, okay? Yeah. You brought me back here.
This is what you asked for. Mm-hmm. Because you speak of diversity, and I know you're big on speaking out about injustice and diversity and everything.
Absolutely.
I know that you went to a predominantly white school.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ended up going to college. Was that when you were in college, was that predominantly white as well?
No,
was it more diverse?
That was more diverse for sure. Yeah.
Where'd you go again?
Point Park.
Point Park.
Point Park University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I was only there for a year and a half. So starting from the beginning.
Yeah.
Raised in Overland Park, Kansas. Very white. Very white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is nothing wrong with that, but that's just that region, you know, very little diversity. And I think what I experienced there has been key to where I am now. I think if I wouldn't have been in an environment like that, I don't think I would be so passionate now about inclusion and diversity and speaking up, you know, in that way. Because now that I know what it feels like to come from that, I know what people that come from that same environment need, or what I would have wanted to hear growing up in that kind of environment.
Right.
So I was always wanting to get out. So my first opportunity, I left for school, decided to study musical theater, get a BFA, which I did not complete. I didn't complete. I went to school for a year and a half. I came up on a megabus to New York one weekend. And auditioned for the national tour of The Wizard of Oz. And, like, the next day I heard that I got it, and so I left school.
Yeah.
Never looked back. With The Wizard of Oz, it was a year, and while I was on The Wizard of Oz, it was coming to an end, and I was like, okay, so after this year, I either need to go back to Point Park and finish my degree, or I need to, like, take this seriously and figure out how I can progress in this industry without a degree.
Because
that's what I wanted to do. I knew school was never really for me. I could have done it, but I wanted to be on the fast track. So while I was on tour with Wizard of Oz, there was an opportunity to audition in Boston, where we were performing at the time, for Dirty Dancing. So I went in for that a few times, had a few callbacks, had to fly to New York a few times. And then while I was on tour with Wizard of Oz, we were, like, a few nights from closing, I found out I got Dirty Dancing.
Wow. Congrats.
So,
that's wild.
Yeah, it was wild. But I had a month in between, or a few weeks in between, and then I started that tour. So toured for a total of 2 years. I would say, so my roles were ensemble, but then understudying, like, a lead part. So the musical theater world, the theater world, is definitely known to be predominantly white, but you know, they always need their tokens. They always need a few of us sprinkled.
I just want to let y'all know, be prepared for this conversation.
Listen, you gotta keep it 100, okay?
She's not gonna shy away from anything. I just want to let y'all know. And this is exactly what that podcast is about. You know, people coming on here and just talking about who they are. I guess, in a way, being unapologetic, but also understanding that it is an opinion, and it's their opinion.
In this instance, it's an opinion that is fact and truth and rooted in reality.
All right, so I'm going to let you go ahead and go.
But yeah, that's known, you know. They want their tokens sprinkled in, so I happened to be that, which, you know, was fine. I wasn't ever just the only, which is always comforting to have people around you that look like you. But at that point, I had only been in school for a year and a half, so I grew up around all white people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've always been comfortable in mostly white spaces.
Right.
But yeah, after that, I was again faced with the, okay, now I've been out of school for 2 years. I know I could have gone back if I wanted to, because I was pursuing a degree in something that I was doing professionally at that point.
Right.
I was like, nah. I mean, I'm like, if I feel like this is a sign.
Bright
from,
lights were calling.
I was like, this must be a sign from, you know, the universe, from God, whatever. Like, that I can do this. Like, mm-hmm. if I've worked consecutively this far, like, let me just make the leap. Mm-hmm. Let me move to New York and see what I can do there.
Right.
And then moved to New York, lived in a shoebox.
Oh, yes, I do
in a
remember
twin
that.
Bed.
I do remember that.
Oh,
that was...
my gosh.
I remember visiting you. Did I help you move? I didn't help you move in.
Nah, you didn't. Where you was at when I was moving in. But honestly, there was not much to move in because there was no space. I mean, that's the thing. It wasn't even roughing it because, like, it was 75th in Amsterdam, like, dope location. So I can't even complain that much. But I could sit in bed and cook on the stove and reach for the fridge. Like, that's how much space.
That is New York for you.
I was grinding. I was auditioning. Mm-hmm. I was not working because I was really like, okay, let me just give myself a few months to really hit these auditions hard and see what comes of it. And then in the first few months, I ended up booking my first off-Broadway show, which was The Lucky Ones. Mm-hmm. And that was incredible. So it was a show about a family, written by and starring the Bankson family. They're like a family band. Their music is incredible. But I think it was life-changing for me because up until that point, I had done very musically, like Dirty Dancing, Wizard of Oz, mm-hmm. very like a very niche kind of musical, something a little more corny than I would ever consider doing now, personally. But it was something, it was telling a real story, and that's when it kind of shifted in my mind. These are the kind of stories, and this is the kind of work I want to be doing. Stories that are life-changing mm-hmm. and can really, you know, make an impact.
So you moved to Brooklyn, and you're like, you know what, this is amazing.
I love it. I'm obsessed.
You're like, I live in Brooklyn now,
mm-hmm.
and you see the culture,
mm-hmm.
you see the diversity,
mm-hmm.
and you see what you were missing out on.
Yeah, but you know what? I could have listened to you and taken my butt to Brooklyn when I first got here,
uh-huh.
but I think I definitely needed those experiences of
you
of
have
that
to.
First. Yeah, I needed to make that that massive mistake. That first week and a half,
yeah.
2 weeks I lived, I just hit up every restaurant. All the restaurants, all of the bars,
yeah.
Friends and Lovers, Ode to Babel, the places that you had taken me before I lived there. Now I live by all that stuff.
What was the first thing you did when you moved to Brooklyn?
I went to Sweet Chick. I think the area just reflects the world. Growing up in Kansas, I know for myself personally, I don't ever want to be in spaces that don't look like the world, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to see all cultures and all kinds of people reflected in my space always, because that's just how it should be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everything works best. Everything, you know, is better when you see all kinds of people and you're surrounded by all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And being a creative, being an artist, being a performer, that's where my creativity thrives too. I can't be around one kind of person. I can't see one thing or I'm uninspired, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I very plainly just believe in equality and respect and love for every single person, you know?
Yeah.
I think that me being silent or feeling like I didn't have a voice when I was growing up in such a white space, I feel like I didn't have a voice for so long, and I spent so much time being uncomfortable speaking out or feeling like, you know, I don't want to be the disruptive, the problematic, like one that's always calling people out. I didn't want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then leaving that space and realizing how much power my voice would have had. I could have changed so many things if I had just spoken up, which is such a simple thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that does take courage. So now that I'm, you know, a little older, a little wiser, I've experienced more, I've traveled, like I've seen things, done things, like there's just no time for silence, especially in the state of the world now with how things are. There's every single person's voice matters, and there are people looking up to you that you don't even know that also need to be empowered to speak up too. Like, someone that I really, really admire is the comedian and actress Amanda Seales.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seeing how outspoken she is,
Go ahead.
She gives no fucks. Like, she is balls to wall. You cross her wrong, she will read you on spot.
Right.
And I'm not to that level yet.
So is she the one that you posted about today?
Mm-hmm. She has like a comedy special coming out. Mm-hmm.
Tonight? Is it tonight? Mm-hmm.
Tonight on
already...
HBO, 10 p.m. She has her HBO comedy special that's going to be incredible. But mm-hmm. yeah, I think she is like such a beacon of light in the world for just being outspoken, calling it like you see it, like... Yeah, and also the people who are saying these ignorant things that need to be checked sometime, you're giving them an opportunity to grow. You know, don't rob someone of an opportunity to grow because you're too scared. Maybe they don't know. You need to check them so they know, and then at least maybe they won't say it again. You know, maybe they're a little more informed or can be a little more respectful in how they go about things.
Yeah.
You know? I can't think of a major incident, but I would say just like... the daily microaggressions, the daily little slights that people can try to, you know, throw at you just to dehumanize you or to make you feel less than or to make you feel unworthy or to make you feel like you are not allowed in the space that you are. Like,
yeah,
all of that, all of that, that there that has to come to an end. And I think speaking out is... In a way, an act of rebellion against all of that. Like, I will not allow you to make me feel like I don't belong, you know? So I will always say something. I used to be that person that people could feel like they could say anything in front of because I wouldn't say anything. Mm-hmm. So if now, based on, you know, what I put out there, or, and I feel like I could be more outspoken than I am, honestly, like, if something that I have said or you've seen me say makes you second guess something ignorant that's about to come out of your mouth, then I've done my work.
Wow.
Then I've done my work. Yeah. Like, don't say it. That's right. if you're about to say something to me and you're like, oh, I don't know if I should, don't. Save us both the impending drama that's about to happen. Like, yeah. But I'm also not even like, I'm making it sound like I'm like, you know, just this heavy hitter. Like, I also think that people are not intimidated by me. You know, like, I feel like there are some people that probably would. I
feel like there are people that probably would be or could be
amazing.
Intimidated.
I feel like that gives me street creds. That's great. Because I feel like a good measure is if anything you're about to say would be applauded or endorsed by, you know, Donald Trump, the KKK, any hate groups.
Uh-huh.
It should be second thought. You should give it a second thought before it comes out your mouth, you know, because it's hateful, probably.
Right. You know?
Right.
I briefly saw it on your Instagram, and it was about some kids that went to school with you and cheerleading or something like that.
Oh, yeah, some kids I grew up dancing with.
Right.
They are, they work at a high school that was near ours. So we all graduated, we all grew up dancing together, and then they went back to coach the dance team at this school. And they were discriminating against the one black girl on the team, telling her that she couldn't be in performances or couldn't do this and that with the team because she was black and her, you know, her skin would clash, you know, Jesus. She would stand out, you know, which is absolutely absurd. And if anyone had any doubt that racism and injustice is a thing in 2019, like, exhibit A, B, C, and D right there.
Sheesh.
Like, yeah, but also, like... now it's out in the open, you know? I think it's a major lesson because these kids, well, adults, I can't even say kids, these now adults, they thought that they could discriminate or be hateful in private, but they were exposed, you know? So anything done in the dark will come to light. Like, you can't do that stuff in private because now it's national news. Like, and this is something that happened in my hometown that they probably never thought would ever be this big. But now... you search their names, you hear their names, and this is what you're associated with. And you did it to yourself, so.
You recently moved in with your girlfriend. How is that?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah. We're great. We're first and foremost, we're best friends.
Best friend, yeah.
We're great friends. We're respectful roommates and, you know, respect each other's space and the space that we share. And... yeah, it's a great partnership.
Good. And how long have you guys been together?
A little over a year.
Wonderful.
We met like when we both first moved here.
And she's a dancer as well.
Mm-hmm. She's a dancer. She's an artist. Beautiful. Yep, from Beautiful. Amsterdam.
How do you feel about interracial relationships?
That's another one that came out of left field, Raymond. I mean, I think...
Being in a very diverse area and climate think, right now.
Listen, love is love, but uh-huh. also, that being said, mm-hmm. if the love you're with is a bigot or a racist or a hateful person, then to me, there's no room for love in that. Like, it, anyone that you're with needs to respect and know you fully and know your struggles and know... You know, if those struggles relate to race or, you know, how you're viewed in society that doesn't necessarily, you know, stand for you. Like, you know, there just needs to be a baseline of respect yeah. in any relationship, any healthy relationship. So, but yeah, other than that, like, love is love is love.
What are the things that really stand out and inspire you?
I draw inspiration from literally everything. I could be scrolling on my Instagram timeline and, you know, see a video or hear a song or, you know, see a piece of artwork and a million ideas are then swirling in my head. Oddly, I can pull inspiration from the terrible bad news that, you know, is constantly presented to us. Because in that way, I feel I can be used as an agent of change, inspired by the bad to create something good that can, you know, lighten the load of, you know, I don't know, literally everything. I'm inspired yeah. by every single thing. I'm inspired by you for sure. How you hustle and how you're out here, that's super inspiring to me, all of your endeavors. Very inspired by my brother, my younger brother, Evan.
Yeah.
He is an athlete, but also dabbles in music production, and he is incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm like, he taught himself this, like, and he's really good. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm inspired by the people around me, my friends that are working hard and trying to make a name for themselves in this world. Yeah. Being raised with those Midwestern values, mm-hmm. those Midwestern religious beliefs, is nothing that I've necessarily strayed from. I just think my opinions and my mind has evolved and grown. Not past that, but just in that. Like, mm-hmm. I think that everything, God and the universe, whatever you want to call it, is so much bigger than my mind could comprehend at one time, mm-hmm. you know? And I think people that stay in one place, especially like the Midwest, if you only stay one place and you only see one thing, you're never really challenged to expand on that, you know? If that's all you know, then that's all you know. But I think experiencing more and being especially in a city like this where so many people believe so many things, I've kind of been able to take what I was taught and what I've experienced and kind of know that, you know, I believe in God and a creator and divine, you know, divinity,
divine
power, all of that. But I think it's so big, and I think that we're not meant to understand everything. Yes, but I think the one thing that connects everything, which connects all religions anyway, is just love. For sure. Anyone listening right now, take to your phones, take to your computers, take to your iPads, take to your Alexas, and search Peanuts Island Proud Family. And you will see Raymond's twin, which is the little yellow peanut head looking guys. Y'all didn't know, but Ray is famous. Look him up and you will see exactly what I mean.
You got me.
There we go.
I'll take that. I'll take that out.
Take the L. Take